Crimes and Treasons Radio. This is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM with Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
I'm going away. Look into my eyes. Last Sunday of every month from 11 to 5. I want you here with me at the Wise Hall, please. Wise Hall, please.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy followed by the White Noise After Show. This week hosted by myself and featuring special friends Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley, who isn't here. Where's Sierra, man? Like, come on.
I don't know. I'll keep track of her.
You live with her.
Like, yeah, and she's a young, independent young woman.
Fair dues. Fair dues. I'll check my white male privilege there.
You should.
So, yes, we do have the White Noise After Show coming up where we're going to be debating all sorts. And then we've got, of course, our kick-ass list of typical music.
But more importantly, we have our kick-ass show.
Yeah. First, we have the sketch comedy.
Which is why everyone's tuning in.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully they're not just banning the radio and then really upset that they've landed on us. Yeah, I mean, it's not for everyone, though. I don't want to oversell it.
I don't know. I think it's for everyone. Anyone with an open mind.
Yes, please. Please do have an open
good
mind.
Good sense of humour. Makes you laugh.
Dark sense of humour.
You think know, that's, it's like the ideal boyfriend.
Okay, so if you fit that description, Connor, his email can be reached through whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
I'm trying to say, this show is much like a perfect boyfriend.
Really?
Like, open-minded.
Sometimes it goes a bit psychotic.
Well, a bit silly, a bit absurdist.
Definitely a bit silly, a bit absurdist. But let's not.
It's your fault.
Let's not give it all away. And your fault. You wrote some this week, didn't you? Yeah, you did write some.
Yeah.
We'll, it's called conversation.
I'm sure you'll point them out afterwards.
Yeah, I will. I will very clearly which ones I did not write. No. And if you'd like to comment on mine or Connor's writing this week, throughout the week, you could do so on our Facebook page, White Noise UBC, on Twitter. Richard Blackmore's always spinning the funny. He's doing all sorts today. So definitely go check that out. And of course, our best of page is whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, I think it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Bejeweled, one of the many reasons your parents have stopped having sex. First up tonight, someone's talking. Hello, listeners. I'm Ben Deasy, and this is Ben of the People. Hey, how's it going?
Sorry?
How are you doing today?
Fine. Do I know you?
It's Ben.
From high school?
No. Off the radio?
Then why would I recognize you?
I'm on billboards.
Oh, well, I never look up.
What?
Just can't be bothered.
Hey, how you doing, short guy?
Huh? Oh, me?
Yes, you, Peter Dinglish.
It's Liam.
And you know who I am.
Ben?
Right, off the radio. Yeah, it's, Ben of the... Pond! People! It's people, you
tiny tit! Hey, how you doing, old-timer?
Fine, thank you.
Jeez, you look old enough to have an informed opinion on slavery.
Well, I always did say them there nigger...
Stop recording, Gary! Stop recording! Okay, one more go. Let's try that ugly one over there. She can't have anything better to do. Okay. Hi there. I know you're busy putting on makeup, but if I could just pull you away from that losing battle, perhaps you'd like to be on my show, Ben of the People.
Oh, I love that show.
Well, I know you probably don't get most of it, but I'm still glad you like the pretty sounds.
Well, you're not like a proper journalist or anything. Like, you're not Bear Grylls.
What, because I've never drank my own piss?
Exactly. And you're a little fat.
That is so mean! Why would you say that? I can't help it. It's because I eat a lot of chocolate.
You called me an idiot and ugly.
Yeah, but I did it in a way you wouldn't understand.
I'm not a man of the people, but I suppose I was once a boy of the fetal kind. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Carl, wake up! Wake up, mate!
No, Neil, I won't do it. My bum's too sore.
What? No, Carl, wake up, man!
What? Oh, Neil, what's going on? More suppositories?
No, the vet said you'd be fine. Look, I've got a brilliant idea.
Oh, but we already have an ambulance to live in. What more could you want?
I don't know, plumbing, food, a bed that doesn't have other people's blood and feces on it.
I already apologised twice for that.
It's water under the bridge. Well, maybe not water, maybe poo. But the point is, I have a foolproof plan, all right? What we're going to do is we're going to rob the one person that no one would believe it when they say we did it.
Are we going to rob ourselves, Neil?
No, Ryan Lochte.
Did we meet him down the pub?
Next, please.
Buongiorno.
Shut up, Carl. Hi there. I'm Neil. This is a twat. And you are?
Gail. How can I help you, gentlemen?
Don't even look him in the eye. I'm serious. He'll get ideas.
Do you guys have any arcade games in here?
No. This is a travel agent.
Not even a pinball machine?
Be quiet or I'm going to put you in your cage.
Another cage. No, not the cage.
Then heal. Now, can you please book us 2 tickets to Ryan Lochte's house?
Who?
You know, swimmer. Lied about being robbed in Rio. Thicker than the walls in Tom Cruise's basement.
Oh, right. Well, you need to go to Gainesville, Florida. That'll be £2,000, please.
Oh, no problem. Just put it on my credit card.
Thank you. Mrs. Donnelly. I thought you said your name was Neil.
We'll be soon, you know, legally.
Can I just say they did a fabulous job on your surgery?
The lineup for this plane is huge.
Oh, it's just security, mate.
Oh. So all these people are waiting to get security?
No, security's checking if they're criminals.
Shit, Neil, they're gonna get us.
Oh, calm down, just be cool, man.
Sir, please remove your shoes, belts, and any items made of metal.
You do not want me to remove my shoes. Trust me.
Is that a threat, sir?
No, he means his feet are disgusting.
Take them off now.
Fine.
Put them back on now.
All right, no need to point your gun.
Step through the detector. Did you remove all items made of metal?
Yes.
There appears to be something in your pants.
Oh, no, right, yeah, that's just my metal cock.
Pardon?
I take it everywhere. It's lucky. Here, have a look.
Get your hands out of your pants, sir. Oh, a metal rooster.
Well, I guess you could call it that, but it didn't really turn out right. It was meant to look more like a penis.
I can't believe it. We actually made it on the plane.
I still think I would have been more comfortable underneath the plane with the other cats and dogs.
Would you like a drink, sir?
A pina colada, please.
And I'll have a diet caffeine-free Dr. Pepper.
It's coffee or tea right now, lads.
Oh, forget it then. We brought our own. Yeah, duty-free. That is a fucking brilliant invention.
What's duty?
I don't know, but it almost feels like we're nicking.
Sir, can you please put your trousers back on?
Why? I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in till we land. So why do I need trousers?
You're offending the other passengers.
Are you offended, Neil?
No.
See? You're a liar, Mrs. Uniform.
Now, please, if you can't behave, I'm having the pilot turn the plane around.
Really? You waste all these people time going back to London because Carl's there in his tackle.
Yes, we once landed because someone was chewing too loudly.
Really?
Well, he was in first class.
Fine. Carl, put your trousers back on.
No, they're wet. I've got duty free on them.
Carl, if you don't put them on, you're going to ruin our plan.
Oh, I don't care. I don't even know who Ryan Loki is.
Shut up and put your pants on.
No, you can't make me.
Yeah, I can. Come here. Get them on.
This is your captain speaking. If the bearded woman and chimp don't stop wrestling, I will allow the rest of the flight's passengers to kick your head in.
Fine, I'll put them on, but I draw the line at underwear.
Tune in next week for part two of Carl and Neil rob Ryan Lochte. Next up tonight is an advert.
We are here today to announce a new 20-part series of magazines where you can meticulously collect all of the pieces week by week, issue by issue, and build your very own improvised explosive device. That's right, ISIS Magazine presents the Suicide Vest Edition. Each issue not only provides you with a piece towards creating your very own Hell on Earth kit, you will also get to delve into the history of our great organization and find out about how we took over parts of the world everyone else has stopped caring about. We'll show you how to recruit your friends, especially the unhinged ones. We will even give you your own version of the Quran with special highlighted passages that are taken out of context for your reading pleasure. So act now, or all the hot virgins will be gone.
I wouldn't order that. I still have half a T-Rex I never finished. Next up tonight, someone's landscaping.
Welcome to Wedge's Wild Wax Parlour. If it's hair, we'll get it out of there. How may I help you?
Hi there. I'm looking to get a wax, please. But I'm just not sure what to get.
Your first time, huh? Well, not to worry. We have plenty of options. What result are you looking for?
Well, I don't want to lose everything, but not nothing either. So something in between, like smooth-ish.
Well, how about an Algerian?
What's that?
Well, it's like a Brazilian, but we leave a little crescent moon around the top. It says spiritual, but sexy.
How about an Egyptian?
Well, it's like a Brazilian, but the pubic hair is inverted like a pyramid. It means you want to be on top.
No.
A Nile?
Oh, yeah?
It's like a Brazilian, but with a swervy landing strip. It says, I like crocs and cocks.
I guess that makes sense.
So you want it? It comes in white or blue?
No, it's a bit weird.
I would recommend the Syrian.
What's that?
That's when there's nothing left.
No, none of these are working for me. Do you have anything else?
Persian?
Persian?
We actually add more hair so that you look like a cat.
Ugh, no. I don't think you have what I want.
Wait, how about a burkini wax?
A burkini wax? How does that work?
Well, we wax around your burkini line.
So, just the eyebrows?
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll take it.
I don't like getting my eyebrows waxed. I just get them buffed. Next up tonight, someone's cooking.
Now, for those who are tight on time, here is an easy and sensational recipe that you can put together in 5 minutes from things just lying around your walk-in pantry. What you'll need is one potato, Idaho, 2.3 pounds, red, non-GMO, round but not too round,
A carrot, baby cut, yellow, 0.35 inches diameter, exactly. For those who don't know, that's also the average width of the open sphincter. Butter, salted, white, not yellow, packaging must have a picture of a cow on it. A loaf of bread, artisanal, pumpernickel, 450 or more per a gram only. And cheese, mozza, jack, cheddar, gruyere, American mix. It's imported from Switzerland and aged 5 years under an aristocrat's mattress. If you can't find those at your local specialty food store, then you're living in the wrong neighbourhood. Next, we're going to combine the ingredients. This is so simple, it would honestly take a working class person to mess it up. Slice the bread and the cheese and spread the butter onto the bread. The important step here is to make sure you have good knives. I wouldn't even try making this meal unless you have the $480 Deluxe MasterChef 50 knife pack from Costco. Now, let's get cooking. There's actually a very fine secret here to get this right that most TV chefs won't tell you. Invest in the $340 limited edition first print 24 slice wood fired toaster from Sears. If you don't have that, you might as well be eating dog shit. That's all I'm saying. Now that the bread's been cooked, we're almost finished. Butter the cheese, most people forget to do this, and then add the cheese between the slices of bread, not on top. I know that seems counterintuitive. And on to the final step. Throw away the potato. You didn't actually need that. And butter up the carrot. Add the carrot to the sandwich, and voila, perfection. Now, let it sit for 5 minutes on a windowsill made of oak. If it's pine, it's ruined. To really make the most of this meal, you should pair it with an Australian Merlot, an Austrian model, and a villa in Tuscany. Honestly, if you don't have those, I'm not even sure why you're watching this program. You should probably just kill yourself.
I'm not much of a chef. I usually just go eat at this dive across town. It's called my mum's house. Next up tonight, people are pretending to buy cars.
These are real people, not actors. Introducing the new 2016 heavy-duty Chevy Wankerado. Massive, smooth, and ribbed for your pleasure. It fits the whole family, even the fat ones. This car speaks for itself. So, here's what our customers said.
Oh, I really liked when we stopped.
How did the Wankerado handle?
Well, shit.
What's the car's best feature?
It's really hard to miss with that huge Confederate flag on it. I love the way the dampness comes out of the floor.
Did you know it does 10 meters to the gallon?
What's a meter?
And it even comes with a warranty.
That's expected.
Whenever I'm looking for a heavy car to do some work, my illegal immigrants can't. I found Wankerados to be the best reliable.
It's one of the comfiest cars I've ever had a quickie in. But I really wouldn't recommend giving a blow.
The award-winning Chevy heavy-duty Wankerado. It's the car for families, especially the fat ones.
I want a car, and this ad helped convince me to choose a Chevy heavy Wankerado. Did I say that right?
I would love a Chevy. I once had a Levy, but it was dry. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
There you go. That was the White Noise sketch show. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, for once.
Yeah, well, you would say that as you wrote like three of the sketches this week. So.
How many sketches were there as well?
You wrote
seven of them, so I wrote.
You wrote the last three, right?
Yeah.
So you wrote three of them, yeah. That's what I said.
Sorry, I was just wondering what the ratio was.
What the ratio? Was there seven? I thought it was more than seven.
Well, look, because Carl Neal's quite long. We're getting into semantics here.
Better than your tennis scores, that's for sure.
If you want to know, you wrote 5 of the 16 minutes of the script, I believe. Does that make you feel
good?
How
many minutes when Connor's speaking?
it depends which version you go
by. How many minutes is it during which you're pausing between words?
Well, once I take out all the pauses you do, Shatner, it's a lot shorter, but... The original tapes of these are about 45 minutes long, and then I just take out Connor's gaps, and we're down to, like, 16 minutes then.
To be fair, a lot of it is coughing, Simon, like, coughing up his lung in the middle.
You have a lung.
Have you tried doing the Blackmore voice, like, steady?
It's Richard Blackmore!
Yeah, do that for
Welcome
an hour.
Welcome to Wine Noise!
You see, he was already struggling at the end there.
I was just getting in character.
All right, well, try doing that and smoking a lot of weed and cigarettes every day. That's the real challenge.
That's where you're going wrong, mate.
Yeah, and I still sometimes beat you at tennis, so...
Once.
What does that say about your physique?
Just let you have a game to win.
Connor just really likes candy, that's what it is.
Oh, I bought some candy today. Anyway, I think we're getting bogged down
in things
that are way too interesting for the common mind. So, Simon, do you want to introduce to us first song, first discussion topic?
Of course, we're going to play a couple of kick-ass tracks, let you guys go to the bathroom, make a cup of tea or the Canadian equivalent, and then come back and we'll do some debating.
Why is the music still on?
Because I like to have it on while we do our little bit.
I can't hear myself think.
But the first debate topic for tonight, I'm not going to say what it is yet. We're going to hold you in suspense and make you come back. Well, please come back. We'd appreciate it. But you know what? You're a free person. Do whatever the fucking hell you like. First track tonight is by Solids, and it's Blank Stare.
Care to join
All right, there you go. That was Jessica O'Neill with Tiny Telescopic Treasure. What a lovely, lovely title off Cheekbone. Yeah, great. Great track. Okay, so our first topic for tonight on the White Noise After Show is going to be what do we think about George H. Bush? That's George W. Bush's father. George Bush Sr., who, of course, was the former president of the United States. Started the first Iraq War. Not, you know, known for being the most nicest guy. But he, apparently he's come out voting for Hillary Clinton in the next election instead of Trump, even though, of course, he was a Republican president and, of course, has backed pretty well every other Republican candidate up until this point. So what does that mean? What do we think of that?
I think it starts you off with two very different but also very relevant ideas. One being either Hillary isn't as democratic as some might like to think her as. And then the other being maybe it's gone to such drastic measures that a Republican president would vote for a Democratic candidate. So it's like it's starting that coalition that they've been talking about of it's going to take a lot to defeat Trump, or just like you have to unite against him because he's such a terrible force in American politics, no matter what party you're part of.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I think it's really about whether you want to be cynical about such a move.
Yeah.
Because you can look at it cynically and say it's because either Hillary is, which I've argued before in many university papers, that the Democrats aren't as, they're not a socialist, they're not a left-wing group at all, they're a right-wing group on any other political spectrum in any other country. But in the US, next to the Republicans, they look like, you know, Che Guevara, basically.
Different Democratic candidates are like would represent different parties if you displanted them into a different country, right? Mm. Like Bernie and Hillary had such different views and were on such different parts of the political spectrum. I don't like Hillary comes off as a much more centrist candidate, which makes more sense for what America needs right now, in my opinion.
Well, in terms of winning a national election in America, it is the sort of candidate you would pick on paper to win for your party. You always want that person who looks like you can steal votes.
If only Americans voted for on paper who looked like the best candidate to run their country.
Let's not be too cynical. We had Stephen Harper for eight years.
I didn't live
10
here yet.
Years, was it? So let's not get too smart.
But she's right, because we voted for Trudeau and Trudeau looks good on paper.
He looks good on everything.
Actually, no. On paper, he's very inexperienced.
It was a joke about how he looks good.
He's a good-looking guy. I was trying to have a serious conversation, and you're just throwing jokes out there.
I thought this was the White Noise comedy show. Thought I'd throw in a little bit of a jest.
Can you warn me, please, next time? Okay.
Please let it be noted that any joke said on the White Noise show must have a warning.
What confused me, Connor, was that it wasn't funny. So it went over my head.
The moment I mentioned it, you kind of laughed.
That's my resting face. Every time I look at you, I look a bit bemused.
So it's resting comedian face.
I think we're off topic now. So
Connor, what's your opinion on it?
I was going to say the same thing as Sierra, how you sort of entered the discussion, saying, you could be, and much like you sort of said, you can be cynical about it, or you could be, I'm not sure what the other word
idealistic.
Is, but maybe idealistic, or to be, just look at it as a reflection of...
Well, if you're cynical, you'd say the other would be being naive about it.
I suppose. The idea that Trump is actually destroying his own party, and this is the extent to which it's
how desperate it's gone. Yeah.
What is it, his own party?
I mean, they've so far essentially accepted him, despite the fact many high-profile Republicans have publicly said, we don't like him, we're not accepting him.
Let's be honest, the optimistic answer, perhaps, is the most plausible answer, if you actually look at what has gone on, because you've got the likes of high-ranking Republicans like John Bonner and Lindsey Graham and George W. Bush didn't turn up to the convention. Like, none of the, like, previous Republican living presidents, I think one of them went to the actual convention this year. There's been at least it's not been a very loud sort of revolt, but it's almost more of a silent revolt, in that a lot of people have just abstained from contact and from promoting him and from going on the campaign trail for him. As you know, we haven't seen all these people that we're talking about doing those things where they would have in previous years for other candidates. So there's clearly a dissent there, but they're just afraid to say it too loud and then be blamed when the Democrats win, even though in a way most of them that's actually what they want, but they can't appear to look like they want that. But in this very seldom case, you know, he apparently in a interview came out and said it. He doesn't want anything to do with Trump.
Do you think his opinion, I mean, now he's a president, I guess, what, 3 or 4 times removed even?
Yeah.
Does his opinion hold any weight, do you think?
Of course, of course. I mean, he is one of 5, 6 people living who can actually give an opinion on what it's like to do that job and what it actually entails and what the characteristics and persona you need to do that job successfully. Even though I don't agree with his politics, whether he's qualified to know if other people are qualified, he's more qualified than anyone else, really. I know 20 years have passed, but I don't think it's that much different. You know, maybe they send emails rather than telegrams or faxes or whatever it was he was dealing with, but besides that, it's the same bullshit.
The Pony Express? Or
just the horse and carriage, yes.
He's
Morse code.
He looks about that old.
He used to be, he didn't run, but he used to be ex-CIA, I think, as well. George H.
Before
he was president.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's definitely got a lot. He's got a lot invested in American national interest, I mean, to say the least.
Yeah. Any guy who's devoted that much of his life, and then like, of course, like the Bush like political dynasty. Now, you know, Jeb Bush was running, obviously. George W. Bush was president.
George H. Bush doesn't like Trump was
right.
For all the things he said about Trump. Jeb.
Yeah, that's definitely, if you want to look at it from that angle.
Yeah, we're going to get really personal.
Yeah.
The Donald and Jeb show.
But, yeah. I mean, someone who's invested so much of their life to trying to run a country. I mean, like, have whatever opinion you want of his politics and his policy, but he probably believed that he was doing the best thing he could for that country. I mean, any president has to believe that. But and then to see it being destroyed by such a careless, like, frivolous maniac, like, and if he's actually able to succeed, that I think that would just be such a blow to any president.
Mm.
It would set the American political institution back a ways, that's for sure. The damage is yet to be seen how far it'd go.
Yeah, I mean, you could also make the argument that it's heading in a poor trajectory to begin with. And
maybe this is the wake-up call, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, you know. But we'll have to wait and see.
Do you think it's heading in a bad way, though?
I feel like there appears, in my opinion, to be a slightly more sort of a higher awareness in younger politicians that are coming through. And, you know, because they haven't been around that long, I think they are more sensitive to issues that are important now and that are coming up and are affecting a lot of people.
But social media, it's easy to get whiff of them. And like, it's like before, you needed like a legit protest
for
someone to go, oh, I guess there's an issue here. Whereas now,
you need to canvass the streets, it's so easy to collect data now. It's so, if you're using the tools that are available, which you're more likely to do if you're younger, you're more technologically engaged.
And you want to win and you want to,
then I do think that there will be eventually a sort of evolution in politics, in that it will become about trying to really tap into like sort of finger on the pulse idea of like, okay, let's, you know, take tons of polls and have lots of people who are loyal to the party and are to, you know, poll them constantly, which they do now in terms of like how people are going, you know, in terms of like the primaries and the presidential elections. Yes, they do poll people, but I think within actually governing, if they can do more of that, which they don't really right now. I mean, you know, we have referendums, but rarely do we see like lots of attempts to sort of improve national sort of polling in terms of what people want.
But that's dangerous, because then you start to go in the direction of mob rule. Like when you get too close to a direct
that's what a democracy is.
That's
why the Greeks didn't like it.
Let me clarify. Democracy exists on a very wide spectrum, and depending if you go too far in the direction of direct involvement of the populace within the governing of a country, you get to the point where they don't have the political expertise to run the country.
Yeah, I'm not saying you listen to every single thing that people tell you to do, because you'll hear a million different things. I'm just saying that I think that you can be a lot. Like, there's just so many times when it feels like those in power are just ignoring, or at least not taking serious, like what's really bothering people and what really is affecting people.
Oh no, they definitely have to listen to it. I mean, it's such a approval ratings are totally based off of like how they come across on social media, like how the public is responding to them. And so social media helps keep them more accountable. It has to, because if they're not well liked on social media, then their approval ratings are going to completely plummet. So I think there is that involvement. It's not necessarily within the formal institution of people having polls, at least, you know, like directed from the government, but their opinion is made known quite easily, and the people working in actual policy have to keep in mind what the public thinks, or else they can't do their
job. I
think
there's a good fine line between, I think, what both of you just kind of said, in that, Simon, I think you're absolutely right, and what Sirius is saying, that you need to be in touch on like on the pulse people, but don't necessarily make it like an official institution by sending out real polls, which gets people thinking, hey, I'm going to make a difference.
If, well, yeah, I'm not talking about you know, everybody sign up for this poll. I'm talking about, taking
just
samples.
Like, big data, something like that.
Yeah, and looking just at trends, within tons. Because the thing is, like, we can collect census data and statistical data in such better depth and, you know, in vaster quantities now more easily, that we should harness that and really, prove things objectively rather than just through subjective assumptions of you know, what people are saying or, actually look at what people are doing. But anyway, let's go for a break, play some music, and then we'll come back with a new topic. Next up, we're going to play a Connor request. We're going to play some Mastercraft. This is Runaway.
Thank you. this Sunday, September 25th, Vancouver, right? Live at Wood Studio with special guest Rape is Real and Everywhere. For the past year, Alex Burad and Simon Armstrong Show has been a clubhouse for all things Vancouver comedy. For the first time, you can be there in person for every riff, burn, and flub, featuring Gavin Clarkson, Alex Burad, and Simon Armstrong. This evening also features Rape is Real and Everywhere, comedians who have survived rape sharing their experiences with hilarity, cathartic honesty, and old-fashioned vulnerability, featuring Emma Cooper, Amanda Smith, Mark Hughes, and Shane Clark. This Sunday, September 25th at Wood Studio, doors at 7:30. Tickets on evanbright.com. Last night was pretty fucked up bright.
And a gorgeous there. Gorgeous? Gorgeous? Gorgeous?
Gorgeous? But she might be gorgeous.
Gorgeous? Gorgeous?
Yeah, I think we should refrain from making objectifying comments like that, Simon.
Her voice is gorgeous.
Her voice is gorgeous.
Fine. Hannah Nice Tits Gorgeous, we'll call her. Is that better? Is that...
Simon, I think you have made strides in improvement.
Did I make things worse? That song was called Crazy Shit, and that was off For Evelyn, which I assume means somebody like Evelyn. All right, so what's our next topic? Sierra, you got a topic.
Yeah, so I think we're going to talk about the search for alien life and the ethical implications of it. So
don't make it sound too exciting now.
Sorry, I'm taking a space politics course, so yeah. I'm a little too nerdy about this. But it raises some interesting questions. The technology we have available right now allows us to broadcast radio and television signals out into space. And so there have been a lot of efforts recently.
Okay, but what's the topic? Before you get into it, actually just say what it is, which is, should we
Contact, aliens or not.
Okay, now we know what the topic is. Because otherwise, people are going, what the hell is he talking about? Okay, it sounds kind of interesting, but I don't care. So now we know.
Okay.
Should we make contact with aliens? Everyone's got an opinion. Go.
Yes. So given the information that we have, like, some technology that's available to us, that at least we're putting a broadcast out, and then they're also this organization, what makes them significant, SETI, or Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is that they're looking for advanced life, not just bacteria, which is actually quite likely we might find that on Mars or some other planets we're looking at. They're looking in the distant kind of atmosphere. What can we find? Is there advanced life, and is it worth contacting, or should we stay the fuck away because they might be terrifying and have some scary sci-fi capabilities, like obliterating our planet with a quick click, and maybe we should just keep quiet and pip down.
So if they can receive our radio waves, presuming therefore that they're either at least equivocally or even more advanced than we are, what does it make a difference? Like, won't they know we're there? Or like,
not in the moment, because if they're not looking for us and they live light years away.
Also, we might just not be worth looking at yet. They might know Earth is a planet out there, but until we've made some efforts to contact, they'd be like, it's just an empty planet, or life isn't significant.
Maybe
yeah,
we got to reach warp speed.
It's also just difficult to even conceive of it, because if there is some kind of alien race that's sort of conscientious, we would never be able to understand them. The way that they've evolved and the way that they think and their minds work and the way that the communities and societies work would be so different than the way ours work.
And that's one of the big questions of it. Like, are they too different to even worth trying?
Yeah.
Well, my thought on this is that, because there's theories, like Stephen Hawking has the theory that if we were to make contact with them, they could very well be quite brutal, and they would basically harvest our planet for resources.
We would do it.
We've already done most of it.
It would be quite nasty, in his opinion. I'm taking perhaps a more optimistic line of reason, but I would say that perhaps any sort of life form that has become powerful enough to travel light years away would also therefore contain the capacity to murder oneself, the whole of their own society, with nuclear or goodness knows what sort of weapons, right? Because that would go hand in hand with their technology. So to have that sort of power and to have not destroyed themselves would require a advanced ethics that would hopefully also entail a belief in not harming other forms of life that they come into contact with. In the same way that you sort of see in Star Trek, the mission of the Enterprise is this non-interventionist and sort of based on this high idea of ethics, and, you know, it's all about virtue and belief in the plan. And so if that is the case, it would make sense that other groups would do that, because if you were that brutal and barbarianish, you surely would have blown yourselves up by now.
May I raise a quick analogy?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that analogy and apply it to when European people first discovered the Americas.
That was something I was going to bring up.
The first Native American people probably thought, these guys have these crazy big guns and stuff, they must be super powerful. A lot of them did actually assume that it was like deities and gods.
But they didn't have nuclear weapon capabilities there.
Right,
but it's all
ratio.
Right?
Yes, they had muskets, but they wouldn't have been able to kill everybody in the entire fucking of England with a musket. The point is that if you have the power and that sort of, you've reached that sort of technological advancement where you could destroy everybody instantly.
But we have the technology to destroy everyone instantly.
We can only look at it through our lens and through retrospect, because Donald Trump becomes president, nukes China, the whole world goes to blitz.
What, like, so you think you'd actually be stupid enough to actually blow everybody up? Like,
it's probably easy to say that
Chinese
in our mind,
over
but
and
we
over
can't
again.
Predict how things change in the future.
Nah, like, he's
so
not,
I think it's
you think
optimistic,
he'd,
and
think
I,
he'd ruin
love
his
to agree
business, his, because the thing is, he's a selfish bastard, we all know this, but do you think he'd ruin his own interests, his own children?
He's impulsive.
I don't know, man. I think, I think you
I also think there's more checks and balances within the United States military hierarchy that would prevent him from doing that.
Exactly.
But that's not to say in 50 years that things change and that we'd still have the power and we'd go and, you know, nuke ourselves. The first colony
Donald
Mars.
Junior.
No, Donald Trump has invested enough in the technology to, like, in Elon Musk's life-preserving technology to be able to sustain his own life. He's maintained a military dictatorship of America and has obliterated everyone else. Yeah, that'll be likely.
All I'm trying to say is that... Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just posturing.
I see your reasoning. I think there's a lot to be said for that, and I'd like to see a dissertation on it. But I think that it is all in perspective, and I think it's difficult to necessarily apply that to things that we can't even comprehend yet.
I know what you're saying, but I think that my optimistic belief in that, if you're that powerful, you have to have ethics, you have to have morality, otherwise you'll destroy yourself. That to me, that I don't understand how otherwise that sort of these worlds would exist.
They could very well have like a set of ethics for their own species, but we might be.
Of course, there is the fear of tribalism, and that they
hence
just do
my
it in
analogy group. Of Native Americans and Europeans.
Yeah,
but if you're that advanced, like they could be even reaching like sort of believing in speciesism and the idea that
maybe
everything they come into contact with is sacred. Like that's to me would make sense, that the sort of high ethics that they would have to reach to not have destroyed each other with those sort of capabilities.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I think one of the scariest conclusions we could get to is that, like, what if we reach contact with another species and they think we're terrible and that we're this, like, unethical, like, these monsters who would murder each other, would murder the other species on our planet. I think that's scarier than them being mean.
Hey, if we get like a Hadrian's Wall sort of thing where they, you know, where they went up to Scotland and everybody ran down naked and blue and the Romans went, let's just build a wall. Just don't go there. Sod it. We don't need it.
We'll draw a line at Jupiter.
Yeah, they're just going to build a wall between us and Mars and I'll be done with this. All right, that's about the end of our show. We're going to play a track and piss off. Any last words, guys?
No, it was a fun evening.
Thanks for indulging my nerdiness, guys.
No problem at all. We're going to leave you with Plants and Animals. And No Worries, Gonna Find Us. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye, guys.
This Saturday, October 8th, adults age 19 and older can learn to cook or...
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
MRG Concerts West and Force Canada present Twin Peaks with